Because I believe that a young man can save himself from a life of trouble if he would only get a hold of this thing right here. Your future marriage might be blessed or cursed. Whether you end up paying child support to somebody down the road here as you go to work so she can party and raise children, your whole future could be determined by whether or not you get a hold of this right here. The world's going to tell you it's a good thing to lust after women. But I'm going to tell you it is not. It's not funny. It's not cute. And once you get that disease, that sin in your veins, it's hard to break it. And it's through a lot of pain, a lot of chastisement from God. And some folks never learn. They're like Samson. They're just addicted to bad women. They get rid of one and right back to another one. No matter how much pain the other one caused, they're right back to another bad woman. They're fascinated. And I've seen folks like that in our Christian churches today. Here's why, verse 27. For a whore. And if you don't like my AV, I can't help you, friend. Because when my AV comes to tell you, it's going to give it to you straight. It's going to guard what needs to be guarded. But friend, if it doesn't guard it, it doesn't need to be guarded. You need to hear it like it is. And there's some things that don't need to be prettied up. Because there's some things that are so dangerous, it needs to be stated in English. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey and increaseth the transgressors among men. Dear God, I pray that somebody get a hold of what I'm preaching right now, Lord. Oh God, let me grow in this area. Let every person here, Father, get something that they need to encourage them, convict them, and to hear your warnings, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing you see is that a man's eye, especially a young man, I say especially a young man, any man, but you need to get in the habit of this when you're young. The young man's eyes need to be focused so that he's watching where he is stepping. And if you see a lot of folks coming out of high school today, around college age, and it's continuing on up to their 30s, sometimes their 40s, maybe even later. But they are not watching where they're stepping. They're not watching who they're involved with. They're not applying God's tests. They just, whatever happens, happens. They're passive. Well, if you don't watch where you step, you could step in a ditch. You could fall in a pit. And if you fall in a pit, you might not get out. Samson didn't get out. He got his eyes poked out, and he died. So here's what you need to learn. A bad woman is like falling into a pit where there's no water, no food, and you just get down there and rot. Die. Maybe some predator jumps in there and eats you alive. You say, what am I supposed to watch? Well, you're to watch, number one, that you do not become flattered by another man's wife. Because you may end up dead.
And there's a lot of men, a lot of young men, that love flattery. They respond to it. If you don't end up dead, you might end up with a bad reputation. Your chances of success in a community might be limited or ruined. So the first thing a young man needs to do is watch out for a married woman. Don't you call up your daddy and say, "Yeah, I found somebody, but she's married." In fact, stay far away from her house. And if you're married, you need to watch out for the strange woman. There's a lot of young men get married, get out of home school, go start a family, find a beautiful, wonderful wife, sweet, modest young girl. And then they end up meeting somebody at work and ruining a beautiful family. In fact, you need to avoid the strange woman whether she's married or not. Because there's strange women that aren't married. Some dictionaries list the word whore as meaning not just adulterous, but sometimes just rebellious. In other words, when she played the whore, it doesn't necessarily mean that she was adulterous. I'm not so sure that that definition is carried over in our Bible. It seems most times the word is used, it refers to adultery or harlotry or that type of thing. But I just throw that out for your own studies and your own reference. Certainly a man needs to avoid a rebellious woman. I mean, just because she's pretty and nice and flatters you doesn't mean that she's going to be a nice woman when you get home 5 years from now. See, is she going to follow your lead? Is she going to follow you? And you're going to end up with a lot of stress. A lot of stress. And I don't know what it is about marriage where some people just want to close their eyes and they think if they can just get that preacher to say, "I pronounce you man and wife," somehow or another that's the magic pill. And if we could just get past that, isn't that foolish? And young people are very foolish in regard to that type of thing. "I'm just going to go get married." Just foolishness. Foolishness. The point is that many young men are in danger of tripping over bad women. When I speak to some of these young folks today, in the next 5 years, 6 years, 10 years of your life, whether or not you become a mighty Christian for the Lord Jesus Christ might depend upon whether or not you're able to avoid bad women. Because you can fall into a pit and get ensnared by a mess you never intended to fall into. See, we have to be prudent. We have to foresee the evil. We have to look down the road and realize, "I'm not going to talk to her anymore." You have to look down the road and realize, "I'm going to get away from her." And let folks call you whatever they want to call you. But we need to quit living only in the moment. Young people need to quit having fool's eyes. Eyes that are in the ends of the earth. You need to watch your feet. You need to watch your steps. And if God puts somebody in your life, or you think God put somebody in your life, there is a devil, you know. And 9 times out of 10, he gets the first shot. But some people just let whatever happens, happen. They've got some strange idea, some Greek mythology, fate. Well, it just happened that way. They drift along passively. tossed to and fro by whatever or whoever they come across in life. I want you to look at something else now. Not only are bad women what's called a pit, a ditch, but verse 28 says they're predators. You hear a lot about predators. The media makes a lot about predators in regard to children. But I'm going to tell you something. There's predators in regard to young men. And the Bible is the one that gives us this point. I know there's a lot of wolves out there. There's a lot of dogs out there that prey on young women, flatter them. So women can just reverse some of what I'm saying here and apply it to themselves. But it's the Bible writing to a young man here telling him that some women out there are predator women. That's why I call it Miss Predator. That's what she is, Miss Predator. It says in verse 28, she lieth in wait as for a prey and increaseth the transgressors among men. There's always been women, but they're increasing in our days as evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. But even in that day and age, when Solomon lived, he could say, who could find a virtuous woman? Meaning that the cities were filled with predator women. Now, if it was like that in Solomon's day, how much more? You can't just go, I met her in a church. You met a predator in a church. You need to watch out. As our nation falls further into debauchery with modern technology, the Holy Ghost speaks of a time coming, and already here, I believe, when even their women will lose all their shame and begin to commit abomination and become predator women. We're there today. I don't advise that you check much of the news out there. It's probably healthy to stay away from most of it. But I'm going to tell you, female school teachers are preying on young male children. I mean, it's an epidemic. I don't like to even read the slop, but you can see the headlines sometimes, you know. And then they'll give you a catalog of how many others in the past year have done the same thing around the country. And it's not just in schools that it's happening. It's happening all over the place. Predator women preying upon young men. So it's a day when every parent, every young man needs to be alert and watch out for compromising situations and watch out for dangers. Like bad women. And certainly all men in all ages may be ensnared. Well, why are they such a danger? A predator, regardless of what type of animal it is or an insect it is, a predator usually has some weapon by which he can attract and entice and then go for the kill. Whether it's just lurking in the bushes quietly, and then he has that high-speed chase with the claws and the teeth, or whether there's something that excites the little bug to come over and then it grabs it, whether it's the color, there's something that entices the prey to come near so it can then kill, go for the kill. Well, what is it that a predator woman has that will entice a man to come close and come close until finally he's captured in her net? He doesn't know why he's doing the things he's doing. He's got in her head, if you will. And you see men knowing good and well that they have a mess, but they can't get out of it. See? And here's the first weapon flattery. You know what flattery is? Look at those strong muscles. You've got the most gorgeous eyes. On and on and on, whatever it is. Flattery. There's something special about you. There's just something different about you. Oh, yeah? Well, you're not like other guys. Oh, really? See, some young man's going to say, I don't have strange women seeking after me. I mean, why is the Bible telling me this? That sounds like a good thing. I meant. But see, then you might be in the worst danger. Because then you might be easily flattered. If it comes from out of nowhere and you're at the workplace or something and somebody begins to flatter you, that might make you very vulnerable. Because if you don't get it often and then all of a sudden somebody begins to flatter you, you're going to lose your mind. See, it's a weapon. Flattery is a weapon. When a bad woman praises you and gives you compliments and begins to make you feel handsome and like a man, they are flattering you and you are in danger of falling. Now, I believe if you avoid bad places and you avoid bad people, you're going to increase your chances of escaping bad women. And you're going to increase your chances of developing lifelong scars. Some problems that you might never escape from. Some people fall into pits and they never get out. They die in that pit. Some young men get bad diseases and may die. Bad women. Some young men get killed by other angry fellows because bad women are usually around bad men, and bad men many times will kill you or stab you at the drop of a hat, see. So there's been many folks that are in the wrong car at the wrong time, and they end up stabbed, killed. If you just would have been a fool, if you wouldn't have been down there at those places with those people, with bad women, what do you expect to find in a bar? What in the world do you think to find in a bar? I had a man say to me one time, he says, man, help me out. I can't seem to find a good woman. And don't you preach to me, but here's what I want to know. How can I find a good woman? I said, you need to get out of the bars, man. Number one, you need to get yourself right so you'll be worthy enough to have a good woman. He got up from the table and said, man, I told you not to preach to me. I said, well, then don't ask me anything again, all right? Some people want to know, but they don't want preaching. I don't know anything but preaching. But if it's in here, then I want to tell you. If you want something not in here, go to somebody else. Because you want to be lied to. See, you don't want to know. So go get you another bad woman. And I'll see you 7 years from now. And you'll have the same song and dance, same gripe, same situation, same problem, same stresses. Spinning your wheels in life. Oh, and here's one of the worst dangers. If you manage not to get killed, if you manage not to end up with some disease, if you manage to end up not paying child support somewhere with all types of scars all over you, I'm going to tell you something. Here's the worst thing of all. Listen to me. Look in verse 35. Here's the worst thing of all. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will what? Seek it yet again. This person said, regardless of what the hangover did, regardless of how alcohol made me lose my job, regardless of how it made me meet bad women, regardless of how it messed my life up, I'm going to go back to it. You know what that's called? Addiction. Do you know what can happen? When you mess around with bad women, you get like Samson, you get addicted to them. Why don't you get you a nice girl? Because you get addicted to bad women. And they're going to take you down to hell. You're going to wake up in hell. You're going to go to hell. And so understand that. Because there's some folks in this room, some young men, maybe somebody listening to the tape, but somebody needs to hear what I'm saying. Because in 5 years from now, 6 years, 10 years from now, the devil's going to show up. And that's going to be the day where you decide to go to hell or inherit the kingdom. That's going to be it. And I want you to remember what I preached to you in 2006. I'm getting sick of young folks in these churches growing up and getting 18 and then getting out thinking they need to sow their wild oats and that type of thing, you know. And then they come back paying child support with a wrecked life, divorce, everything scarred all up in their lives. And then they come back. Now they're humble enough to hear God. Well, I'm glad you came back to God. Praise the Lord Jesus. He's in the fixing up business, isn't He? He's in the restoring the years of the locust. But it's going to be with some pain. It's going to be with some trials, man. It'd sure be better off if you just avoided the whole thing to begin with. You know, alcohol causes most of the problems. Recently, they said over in Europe, they interviewed some young girls that said, I regret what my life's become. I regret what's happened to my life. But I was 15 and it was alcohol that did it. It was alcohol, alcohol, alcohol. But they were foolish enough to be around the alcohol, right? And that's how most men get messed up. Young boys, young men. It's alcohol that causes you to be stupid, ignorant, foolish. That's why the Bible says, look not thou upon the wine when it's red. If you don't even look at it, well, you're not going to drink it, are you? And if you don't drink it, then you won't utter perverse things. And your eyes will not behold what type of women? Virtuous women? No, strange women. Alcohol leads you to strange women. They love alcohol. They love the life. Alcohol keeps you from watching your steps. It keeps you. It impairs your judgment. Anything that numbs your mind from thinking, and you know that's why they crank that music up so loud and put them Marshall stacks and they crank it up on those speakers. It's mind numbing, you see. When everything's going so loud and there's all these lights going, it numbs your judgment. And you say, who cares? Who cares about tomorrow? See. Get outside. Turn that stinking music off. Get alone where you can hear yourself think. Hear the Holy Spirit talking to you. See. Stay away from things that take away your judgment. Because if you get your judgment taken away, you're going to fall in a pit. You're going to die. You're going to go to hell. It's going to be because of women. Proverbs 31 says, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. You know what destroys kings? Women. Bad women. Not good women. Bad women. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. What does she warn her son against? Two things, wine and women. The Bible says wine and women take away your heart. You have a heart to be a missionary. You have some spiritual gifts that God wants to develop. You're a good man that has a lot of potential to really be used by God, to go out here and really make some money for your church, for your family. You've got some good things going for you. You have some strength that God gives. The glory of a young man is their strength. You've got some talent, some gifts, some strength to go conquer some things in life. The Bible says there's predators out there that want to sap that strength. Vampires suck your blood. Wine and women. See, Proverbs is written to the son of a king. And if you might not understand all these warnings, why is a young man being warned so much about bad women? You need to understand what's happening here. This is not just an ordinary young man. It's a handsome young man. And it's an extremely rich young man. And it's a prince, the son of a king. Now, you don't tell me that a young prince, as he's growing up, needs to know, watch out for bad women? Because you have the crown. You have royalty. You've got money. And that young prince needed to know there's predator women out there. Stay away from them. Find you a good God-fearing woman. But beware. Beware. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for princes to drink. Stay away from bad women. There's women predators out there. You must beware of flattery. You must beware of their traps, whether they're married or not. If we somehow give Bathsheba a free pass for being in the place that she was at, where she could be openly seen, if we give her a free pass and say all of that was accidental, you need to remember something. You need to remember that the law of God said that if a woman is being taken and is being raped, she is to scream and fight to the death. Otherwise, she's going to be stoned too. What's the point? The point was this was openly in the city, not out in the field. It takes two, friend. And according to the law, Bathsheba should be put to death. You don't hear anything about David dragging her out by her hair. There's none of that. She willfully went along with this whole thing. Now guess what? The son of Solomon might have hundreds, if not thousands, of predator women, far more dangerous than a Bathsheba. He might have a conniving woman who wants the crown, wants her son to be in line of the king. So continually, over and over again, the king warns his son, watch out for bad women. Now, Proverbs 31 that says, give not thy strength unto women, most commentators believe that Lemuel is Solomon. And most commentators, it's been Christian history, Christian tradition, to believe that Proverbs 31 was written by Bathsheba herself. And Bathsheba is basically saying, son, believe me, I know about this. Do not beware of bad women. Beware of women that want to just get in line of the king. Beware of these bad women that will destroy a king's life. And I'm going to tell you, David's reign was certainly destroyed. If God had not given him mercy, I don't know how you read 1 and 2, I don't know how you read 2 Samuel and not look at that and say, destruction, destruction, destruction. This man's family fell apart. His reign fell apart. And Bathsheba knows all about that business. And Bathsheba's writing to Solomon and saying, Solomon, don't do it, son. Watch out for bad women, Solomon. Whatever you do, watch out for bad women. And in turn, Solomon's writing his child, because he learned some hard lessons, didn't he? Old Solomon learned some hard lessons, and he's saying, don't do it, son. Do not do it. It's not worth it. Women are not worth it. Bad women are not worth it, son. How do predators catch? Young man? Any man? They use flattery and enticing attire. Those are the two weapons that a predator woman uses. Proverbs 7, behold, there met him a woman. Not just a woman, there met him a woman. And here is her bait. Here is her bait to ensnare the simple, foolish young man. There met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. Didn't say she was a harlot. She had the attire of a harlot. She's not modest. You know what modest means? Modest means not dressed like a harlot. That's one of the definitions. She's subtle of heart, which means she's very sneaky. She knows how to use her clothing. She knows how to use her immodesty in a way. Oh, did I accidentally do that? I'm sorry. She knows how to basically, in her subtle way, entice the eyes of this young man. Basically, getting to a drunken state in his mind. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the street. And lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him, she's a predator, see, and kissed him with an impudent face, not a shamefaced, but impudent face, said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows. I believe in God, don't you? I believe in church, don't you? Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, you and you only. Oh, isn't that flattery? I've been waiting just for you. You're not just another guy that happened to come along. I was waiting for you, just you. And I have found thee. See, a lot of young foolish men are charmed by bold women. When they seem to be in control, when they seem to be bold and unashamed and not bashful, there's a lot of young men that like that. They like to be told what to do. It flatters them. What are you doing? I don't know. She's kind of taking care of all that. I don't know. There's been a lot of men that said, why do I end up meeting bad women over and over and over and over and over? Well, because you always let women come seek you out, see? There's been a lot of wise women that have said to young men, here's why you end up the way you are. You always let women seek you out. Because you like bold women. You like women that are in control. But you forget that the bold women that are seeking you out are probably going to be seeking somebody else out later. You also forget that if they're so bold and unashamed, they're going to continue to be bold and unashamed. You're not going to be able to basically direct your home and control your home. They like the idea of marriage, so they come home. Then those same bold women that can't sit still aren't going to like sitting down in a marriage listening from a man that she doesn't respect anymore. So why don't you go find another woman that doesn't even give you an eye, that doesn't even flirt with you, and basically go, you make the basically the initiation. You go ask her father if you can court her and see how that turns out. And you'll probably be in a lot better position. The Bible's trying to teach you something here. It says in Proverbs 7, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as the fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. For she hath cast down many wounded. She knows how to wound some folks, doesn't she? Yea, many strong men have been slain by her, not just wounded. You might get out with a wound, or you might come out dead. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Even to knock on her door, you might as well knock on the door of hell. All right, what are the two weapons of Mrs. Predator? Her attire, by which she seeks to provoke lust in her beauty, and her speech, by which she flatters. Those are the two weapons. And a lot of men fall for it. Proverbs 6 says, the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Why did God give you these commandments? To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. But she just seems to be so nice. She seems to say nice things about me. Lust not after her what? Her beauty in thine heart. That's one of her weapons. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is bought to a piece of bread. That means he doesn't have anything left but a piece of bread. After he pays child support, pays everything else he's got to pay, he can barely buy bread. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. There's women out there looking for men to pay them child support so they can party. Isn't that something? They're lurking around these clubs looking for their next paycheck. And our welfare state's allowing them to do it. They're predators. The adulteress will hunt for the precious life. What a predator. Most commentators apply eyelids to the ancient practice of bad women to paint their eyes. It might simply refer to the sensual or flirtatious looks or glances that bad women are able to give. Or it might refer to both. She might have her eyelids all painted up, her eyelashes, and she might also give those sensual looks that flatter the man. He gets caught up in the spell, see, of her evil charms. Those eyes take him. And then she just says such nice things. And his life at home is just so mean, you know, just insulting him and just always saying something negative. And so he gets out here at the workplace and she seems so nice. Or maybe he's at home with his mama and his mama's so mean and critical. But boy, this sweet girl, she seems to be sweet. She's just telling him everything he wants to hear. And he gets out and gets taken by her beauty and by her flattery. Now finally, it says that this whore, in verse 28, and this is the saddest thing of all, increases the transgressors among men. Now men themselves are responsible if they get taken by any of these women, to whatever degree. But the Bible teaches also that these predator women are going to be held accountable, because they are provoking men to sin. The first way they provoke is to lust in your heart with your eyes to look upon them. Which Jesus says if a man does that, he's already committed adultery with her in his heart, for which he can go to hell. You say, well, how do they provoke this lust? By accentuating certain immodest areas so the eye will be naturally drawn to those areas and the male eye will find it hard to ignore those areas. There might be writing across some area, or the whole design of the garment might be to accentuate that one area by how tight it fits or by what it exposes. Because there's a bunch of perverts down here that design your clothing. Homosexual, sodomite, fornicating perverts that think it's funny when these little schoolgirls dress like harlots. Dress worse than harlots now. We were speaking the other day about the television, how it shows so many colors, and that if you get away from the television and you're not around it, if you walk into a room where somebody has one on, or you're in some business where one's on, and you're trying to carry on a conversation, it keeps catching your eye. It's designed to have the flashes and the sound, and you're trying to not look at it. But I mean, there's so much action and so many stimulating visual things that make your face just want to be attracted to it. Predator women are distractions. You're trying to go throughout your day. You're trying to take care of business. You're trying to come into the church, worship God. You're trying to go down to the bank, take care of your finances. You're trying to go to the store, and there's predator women. In their sinful foolishness, they feel flattered when they're able to draw the eye. It's some type of fulfillment, some type of flattery, if they can get the man to stare. Especially if he's a married man and they realize he's a good man, but they're able to bend that eye. See, they get flattery out of that. Isn't that immature? Isn't that foolish? Isn't that carnal? I guess in Satan's world, it's fun, it's acceptable to tease men and to entice them. But in God's eye, from God's perspective, here's what he says it's doing. It's increasing the transgressors among men. There's going to be some transgressors. And the predator woman increases the transgression. She might say, well, I've never caused anybody to actually leave his wife. Well, no. Perhaps. But have you caused a man to lust? Have you caused a man to look after you and become a distraction to where he lusts and, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, is worthy of hellfire? If so, you have increased the transgressors among men. You are a predator and you are increasing sin in the world by being a predator. And Jesus put it this way. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, she says, I've never called anybody on the phone and enticed them to come over and commit adultery. Oh, but Jesus says, I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart. Did you entice him to look? Oh, there's quiet. Well, I'm not... Oh, you're just as guilty as if you called him on the phone and said, come over to my house and commit adultery. He said, I would never do such a thing like that to entice a man. Did you entice his eye? If you enticed his eye, then you might as well picked up the phone and called him. I didn't say it, Jesus did. Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. If thy right eye offend thee, he says to the man, pluck it out, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, but not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If he didn't tell you you could go to hell for looking, then why did he put it there? Why is he talking about the eye? What other type of sin can an eye be guilty of in the context of looking on a woman to lust after her? There's men that are going to go to hell because of predator women that Satan used to be the snare that enticed them to lust, get a bad conscience before God, and then end up in worse sin because of a bad conscience. Oh, if you fall into a pit, you're going to be punished. But what about the pit? He that looks after a woman to lust after her will be punished, says God. But what about the one who entices and teases and is the occasion for falling? Any man that looks after a girl, you ought to control yourself. And if you're a righteous man, you ought to control yourself, and we ought to turn our eyes, says the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm speaking to every man in the room. But what about the woman? The man will go to hell. And at the judgment seat of Christ, he can say thanks. I really appreciate it. I'm going to go to hell. And you are the reason. See? And she can sit there at the judgment seat of Christ and say, hey, it's not my problem you couldn't control your eyes. Is that how the Lord sees it? I'm the one that called you. It's not your problem you couldn't resist my offer. Is that how God sees it? Let's read and see. Matthew 18. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Do you not think there's little Christians, young men that are 16, 17, 18, 20, 25 that are lusting? Young Christians? Oh, they're lusting. There's preachers' wives in this country that are coming to churches to try to show they're somebody, to try to show they're hip and cool or whatever word you want to use today. But they're trying to show they're with it, you know. So they've got their butch hair cut and they've got their revealing clothing and their revealing bodies. And I'm going to tell you something. They're sitting up in those churches and causing young folks that are just coming to Christ out of that world to lust after them. There's preachers' wives sending people in our churches to hell. You understand that? There's deacons' wives sending young Christians, teenagers, to hell. They're the occasion of teenagers falling into sin with their eyes and, God forbid, worse. What's Jesus going to think of that? Jesus says, you offend one of these little ones, it'd be better than a big old rock tied around your neck and you dropped into the depth of the ocean and have your lungs explode. Said the Lord Jesus, you wait and see what I'm going to do to you at the judgment seat of Christ. Will it help a woman if she says, I don't actually entice men to fall outwardly, I just entice them to fall with their eyes and heart? What increases transgressors among men? Tight clothing. Tight clothing. We got too many folks in our churches today wearing their daughter's clothing. Stuff don't fit. It just don't fit. You're wearing something for an 8-year-old girl. What's this new movement to wear shirts that don't even fit you? I don't understand it. Spandex shirts. Why you wear that stuff? Pants that don't fit. Skirts that don't fit. What is it in a woman? It must be she likes to flatter the eyes of men. You can't say it's comfortable. See, that's what the argument usually is. It's comfortable. Can't use that anymore. Well, it's fashionable. It's in style. Abortion's in style. Living together out of wedlock's in style. Having babies out of wedlock, that's all in style. Increasing the transgressors among men has always been in style. Especially now. Clothing that exposes immodest areas. That'll increase the transgressions among men. Cause them to look upon a woman with lust and go to hell. And a lot of folks dress like that. They say, I just believe in love. I just believe in love. Is it love to send a young man to hell? Well, that young man ought to be able to control himself. That's not the Bible answer. That's not the answer of love. The Bible says he ought to control himself. But you ought not be the one that causes him to stumble. See? Clothing that's designed to direct the eyes to immodest areas. Maybe folks wear tight clothing because they figure that it's going to make you look smaller. I don't know. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to keep from the ultimate conclusion that you do it. And I'm not speaking to you personally. I'm speaking to modern Christianity. I might be speaking to you personally. I don't know. That's for you to decide, the Holy Ghost. But it might be that there's this fascination with that somehow or another, wearing the tight clothes is going to make you appear fit. But the opposite is actually the truth. I just think it ought to be something that American women repent of, especially those that name the name of Christ. And if it's wrong to call a man on the telephone and invite him over for adultery, it's wrong to invite his eyes and call his eyes up on the telephone. It's wrong to scream for somebody's eyes. Look, look, right here. Galatians 5 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. This isn't the works of love. The works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, which means lasciviousness is not love. And lasciviousness, one of the main definitions in every dictionary, is a tendency to excite lust. Not just a tendency to lust, but to excite it. That which stimulates it and entices it. That which purposely tries to entice the eyes of a man. Is that love? No. I do believe that some women will wake up in hell. Some women at the judgment seat of Christ will be sent to hell for how they dressed. I do believe it. I say it right now. 2006, from the pulpit of Kingdom Baptist Church. I'm not God. He will be the ultimate judge. I hope you don't go to hell. It's my prayer you don't. But there's a danger. There's a danger that the man who looks upon a woman to lust will go to hell. That's in the Word of God. Which means there must also be the companion truth that she that becomes the occasion for that man going to hell will go to hell. That's why Romans says, judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Isaiah 15, cast you up, which means remove all the roadblocks, remove all the stumps out of the way, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. That's what preachers need to do in America. They need to tell their man to get a grip on life. We need to get a grip as preachers, and we need to quit this fascination, this addiction to women. That's what he needs to do first. He needs to tell men to take responsibility for their eyes and their actions. But the second thing that needs to be said is the women of America need to get out of the way of men going to hell. You understand that? Women of America need to be told from the pulpit, you need to quit enticing men to go to hell. Just go be a beautiful, lovely, wonderful Christian woman that a man could look at and say, what a beautiful, lovely Christian sister she is. Oh, how I get good feelings, see. Oh, how I can look at her and not have one feeling of lust, but say, what a lovely woman she is. And I know every man in this room understands. There's some women you could look at and say, what a lovely, beautiful creature that God has made. And you do not feel one ounce of lust whatsoever. And there's some women you've never felt since you've known them. It might be 10 years, might be 15 years. Beautiful women you've never felt an ounce of lust for. Why is that? It's the way they look. It's the way they smile. It's the way they wear their clothes. You have never been enticed one time. See? That's what God calls you to be. Godly Christian sisters. To give up that flattery, that fascination for enticing the eyes of men. It's so carnal. It's so elementary. It's so junior high. See? Some folks got to let some stuff go. And it's hard for women when they get addicted to this thing, see? 1 Corinthians 8, but when you so sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Have you ever wounded the conscience of the brethren? Have you ever had somebody have to go leave church or leave your neighborhood and get down on their knees and say, God, please forgive me for lusting? Have you ever given anybody a bad conscience? You sin against Christ if you do. 1 Corinthians 10, give none offense. Neither do the Jews, nor do the Gentiles, nor do the church of God. There's some folks giving offense to the church of God, aren't they? They're in the churches of America giving offense, being a stumbling block, a roadblock. Finally, man, let me just tell you one thing here as we close. Holy men will escape. This is powerful. Because this shows you that in spite of what they do, you can't escape. Proverbs 22 says, the mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit, but he that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. I don't want to be abhorred of the Lord, do you? Ecclesiastes 7, I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Now what this means is if you please God, when you get that letter and somebody flirts with you and says, this is my phone number, I'd like you to call me. If you please God, you will escape from her. If she compliments you, flatters you, you will escape. But it goes beyond that. If she entices your eyes. If she dresses in such a way on purpose to entice your eyes. If you please God, you'll escape from lust. So there's a way that we as men can get in such a way that we feel pity for women that do things like that. That we feel sorry for them. That we scorn it. That we despise it. Just like you can despise whatever sin that you've already given up by the Lord Jesus. Just like I despise alcohol right now. We can get in a way where we despise not the beauty, but we despise the use of that beauty. Such a sad use, such a junior high, carnal, sad use of beauty that should be reserved for your husband. And that we can feel pity and hope that that person will grow. See, if we could always stay in that spirit, we were talking about that this morning with the men. Oh, how wonderful that would be. And I think according to the Lord Jesus Christ, we do have the power to stay in that spirit. I'll be in some place of business and see girls dressing in very provocative, bad ways. And then you'll see some other girl from another country. Oh, so modest and lovely and sweet and pure. And I've watched over the time of a year and seen these other girls begin to corrupt that girl to where slowly but surely she starts becoming American, see? And starts dropping it lower and lower and lower and lower. Never would have thought of that in a million years. But she's being Americanized, see? That's lovely, she thinks. It's fashionable to entice the eyes of men. Oh man, you better claim Ecclesiastes 7, because it says if we please God, we shall escape. That's good news, isn't it? It's good news to know that we can have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And regardless of what a woman does, we can escape. Well, we better grab a hold of that. Let's do what needs to be done to avoid sin. Let's walk in the power of God. Let's be overcomers by the fear of hell. So I say to every Bathsheba that might be listening, find somewhere else to wash and look around at all times and say, is somebody's window? Is that the king's roof? Did I see the king at home today? It's not my fault that I'm out here. It's not my fault he stayed home. It's not my fault his eyes happened to look here. As she deceives herself, guard yourself. Guard yourself. Love your brethren. And I say to every David, beware of idleness. Beware of staying back from the battle. Beware of staying back from the street, out of the ministries of the church, out of the assembly of the church. Beware of staying home from battle. Because that's when all the Bathshebas are going to come out of the woodwork. Satan will make sure of it. Christian, let's have some singing from the little ones, all right? Young man, did y'all hear what I said today? Every young man, raise your hand if you heard what I said. Amen. You hear what I said? Amen. I pray you did. Wesley, did you hear what I said today? All right, were you asleep? Amen, brother. That's good. Okay. Let's have a couple of songs before we close today.